Welcome to season two of the In Balance podcast. My name is Jim Simon, and I am the Director of Sustainability at Gonzaga University. In Balance animates Gonzaga University's CREATE model for sustainability through interviews and conversations with students, staff, faculty, and community members practicing sustainability on campus and in our region. Much of season two of our podcast has been dedicated to the intersections of racial, climate, and environmental justice. In our CREATE model, the A stands for action. We are called in so many ways to be active in conversations and action around justice for our common world and home. I wish we had done more in this area before the murder of George Floyd and so many other Black lives. This fall, the Office of Mission and Ministry embedded a faith and justice liaison in the Office of Sustainability. That's Brady O'Gara, a business administration major from Phoenix, Arizona. The TREE model from the Ignatian Solidarity Network, it has an extra E in it, says that to tackle racism, we need to educate, engage, and affect change. Enter Brittany Robinson, the GSBA advocacy chair and a political science and international relations major, also from Phoenix, who reached out in hopes of taking action on environmental justice on campus. We shared the TREE model with her, and before we knew it, a papier-mâché tree was being constructed and placed in the lobby of the Hemmingson Center at Gonzaga, hoping to, you guessed it, educate, engage, and affect change. We're also joined today by Grace Redpath, the GSBA Sustainability Chair, who is a psychology major from St. Paul, Minnesota, that is helping lead the conversation on campus. I should share that these students are not the only ones thinking about the intersections of race and climate justice in the environment. GEO, RHA, Fossil Free Gonzaga, GSE, and other parts of the alphabet soup of abbreviations are having critical conversations about this every day. So today I'm excited to welcome to the In Balance podcast, Brittany Robinson, Grace Redpath, and Brady O'Gara. Thanks for coming on. How are you three doing today? This is the first podcast we've recorded with three people.
Well, thanks for having us, Jim. At least for me, I'm having a pretty good day.
That's good to hear, Brittany.
I'm also having a splendid day, a little bit of a gloomy weather out here, but it's going well. Good week. So,
what about you, Grace?
Yeah, having a good week so far. Just really trying to keep up with those online classes as we come to, you know, closer to the end of the semester here.
Awesome. Well, I'm really glad that the three of you are here. I want to start off with a question, and all the questions will be for, I think, really all three of you. So feel free to chime in, and we'll have a great conversation here. How do we, and really as you as students, spark a fire of conversation regarding justice? Moreover, how do we invite students and other and our community to explore and care about the intersections of justice in the environment?
I can talk about this a little bit. So like Jim mentioned, I am the GSBA advocacy coordinator. So I'm on the diversity inclusion team through GSBA. And at least not necessarily specific to environmental justice, but talking about justice, diversity, inclusion in general, that's been our main goals for the year, the semester, and really starting to reach out across the university and engage students, professors, faculty who don't typically engage in these conversations. We're really trying to expand our audiences and tap into people who aren't attending a lot of D&I events, who are maybe have never attended a D&I event. And my position specifically focuses on civic engagement, which did draw me to environmental and sustainability issues. And so I think it's just reaching those populations that don't typically think about these issues and starting a conversation there.
If I can build off of what Brittany was just talking about for a second, I think, as Jim mentioned, I'm the GSBA sustainability chair. So working within the same organization as Brittany, coming into this position, I was really thinking about the different ways that I can engage students in conversations around sustainability. And I think in the past, just being involved in multiple different clubs within the sustainability realm on Gonzaga's campus, I've seen that we focus on a lot of different issues like waste and water and energy, and that's all so important. But I think something that I really wanted to take a deeper look at this semester was engaging in those conversations around environmental justice and seeing how the environment and the climate crisis intersects with so many other issues like race, like gender, like geographic location, like all these different topics. And also we've had a similar issue kind of within sustainability of kind of pulling in the same crowds of people to all of our programming and events, which is great because we have a great strong community, but also wanting to engage other people that don't typically join us in conversations on sustainability. And I think environmental justice and having those conversations about racism and how different communities are disproportionately affected by the climate crisis that we are facing right now is a great way to draw in different people on campus.
Yeah, those are some really great points. I think the heart of that question is, I think sparking a fire of conversation, I think needs to be one where you got to keep the fire going. You got to keep people talking. And I think one of the things that I think we can do is just to keep the conversation going about environmental justice, about racial injustice. I think there are so many opportunities that I was not even aware of my freshman year at Gonzaga that allow people to inform themselves. And I think then allow them to branch out and to have conversations with people who, you know, they may be close with, who have not even, you know, talked with another person about issues of environmental justice and racial injustice. So I think it's all about stepping outside of your comfort zone and maybe, you know, going to a presentation or, you know, a panel provided by Gonzaga or one of Gonzaga's many clubs that allows you to maybe experience or start to think about topics that you would have never thought of before. And then that is just a sort of fire effect where it just starts to affect everybody, maybe in your small circle, and then you can start to have conversations with people you're close with. And then I think that just really gets the conversation going on Gonzaga's campus as a whole. And that's how I think we should try to get people involved. It's just inviting people to come, no matter what their background is, no matter what their belief system is.
Yeah, I appreciate that approach, kind of creating a big tent for everyone to invite into conversation and to get out of folks' comfort zones. I think the comfort zone piece resonates to a little bit with what Grace was saying about usual suspects. I think so often we see the same people at events. Like, how do we get out of our comfort zones? And that's not just our mindset, but it's also the people that we invite into these conversations. So I think that's really important. I also just want to acknowledge the leadership of GSBA here, that two of the chairs of the work are on this podcast talking about the same thing. So that's really awesome. So Ignatian pedagogy begins with context and then builds into experience and action and reflection and then evaluation. For students looking to get involved in environmental justice on campus, that's a great model to aspire to. But the first step is really education. And then looking at the tree model, we start with education. How can Gonzaga students educate themselves about those intersections of race and the environment and climate justice?
I've been thinking about this piece a lot, just in thinking and reflecting on my own education on the topic. And I think even in approaching this podcast, I was feeling a little bit of anxiety about my knowledge base on environmental justice and the intersections of race and the environment, because there's so much to learn and there's so much to dig into and to discover and to reflect on. And so I think it's important to understand education as this like continuous process that needs to constantly, you know, be uncovered, and you need to constantly look and reflect on the ways that your own actions have impacts on communities across the globe, even close to home, and even within like Spokane here in like in at Gonzaga's campus. And so I think a big piece of the education is just like in that self-reflection, which I know is another piece of that Jesuit pedagogy. in understanding like where your personal choices are having an impact. Like how is the amount of waste that I'm producing in my own home then negatively impacting other communities in Spokane or other communities across the country that have to deal with the pollution from the landfills or that live in areas that are affected by that. And also just going out and searching for that information on your own, because I think a lot of times we put the burden of the education on the people affected most by these issues. And I think that's something that I've definitely had to learn and understand and actively seek out that information in trying not to put that burden on people that are negatively affected by issues like environmental justice.
Yeah, I think that was really well said, Grace. And that's sort of along the lines of what I was thinking, that I believe with many issues of social justice, but particularly regarding the environment, it is upon the individual to focus on that education and to really understand that Gonzaga makes it really easy to educate ourselves. There's so much programming occurring. Like Grace, you're doing a ton of programming regarding this. And we have so many different environmental clubs on campus that the conversation is started and it's really easy to tap into it. But also that's not enough, that we have to go out as individuals at this Jesuit institution and focus on educating ourselves as well. And so like I have never been a part of any of the environmental clubs on Gonzaga's campus. It might be too late for me as a senior, I don't know, but I'm happy to be working with these clubs at least this year. But I really do make a point to educate myself just in other ways by like reading the news, keeping my eyes open, and then also looking at the communities that I am a part of. So both at home in Arizona and in Spokane, and making sure that I'm aware of what's going on around me and doing my best to start change there.
I totally agree with both of you. I think there's certainly an importance that you can't overlook in the choosing you made to actually end up at a Jesuit university. I think the Jesuit experience is one that's really awesome. And so this Ignatian pedagogy of looking at context, experience, action, and then reflection is one that can be applied to every single student that goes to Gonzaga or any Jesuit university across, you know, the globe. And so, you know, the first of those is context. I think each university is located in a unique spot. I think Gonzaga, looking around you, you can just start to inform yourself about the surrounding area, about the native land that we are currently residing on. And just starting to begin by looking at, you know, where you are, like how is there a Jesuit university here? I think that's something that kind of is overlooked. And then also recognizing that your position, while it is unique, and you may start off in a privileged point, that doesn't mean that you were in the wrong or that's a wrong spot. I think encouraging people and this idea of inviting people in to a conversation and starting to learn about environmental justice is really important. And so there's no one person that's in a wrong spot. It's just, I think, learning about where you are and then using that position that you have to potentially affect change. Something that this goes to experience, which, like you guys have said, there's so many different experiences that you can involve yourself in on Gonzaga's campus to just start to learn about your surrounding environment. And then I think that's what the whole Jesuit experience about or is about in general, is just to start to affect change and start to see change for the good of others.
Yeah, thanks for that. I think the theme that I heard through all three of your contributions was that importance of process. I think I am a bit older than the three of you, and I think it's definitely a process for me. I'm still learning, and I think seeing things that I didn't see before. I think the things that are easiest to change are the most accessible to us, and I think the deeply rooted change requires a little more work. And so that work takes time. I think that's really important. I guess my next question is, do you feel that learning about the ways in which people are experience climate change or are impacted by climate change could change how we respond to climate change, if that makes sense? So if we know more about the impacts of climate change on people and communities, do you think that we would respond differently to climate change as an issue?
I can take this right away off the bat, just because I've been thinking about it a lot in the past couple of days. But I'm currently working on writing a column for the Inbalance newsletter right now on the intersections between feminism and the climate crisis, and kind of how the autonomy over women's bodies and women's rights across the globe is so intimately connected to the climate crisis. And I think if I've learned anything in a lot of that research, it's that we have to approach any solutions to the climate crisis through a feminist lens, just because those issues disproportionately affect women across the globe, especially in the global South and women of color. And so in order to create effective solutions that care for the people affected by them the most, we have to take those specific issues into account in making sure that we're really just taking care of those issues and advocating for those voices and those identities in any creation of a solution towards a better planet.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I also think when talking about this particular intersection of environmental justice and racial justice, it's important to recognize personal privilege. So I am a white woman currently in Spokane, Washington, talking about this in a podcast. I am not being, you know, gravely affected by climate change currently. And I think it's important to recognize that, but not to let it form, I don't know, a divide or a separation from the realities of this climate change, which is disproportionately affecting people of color, not only in our country, but across the world. And I think with this gap, which can be attributed to many different things, but there's this poverty gap that really is going to become larger and larger. And we've seen it as forest fires, you know, rage across the US, and some families are forced to flee or do not have the means or the money or the resources, while others can hire, you know, professional firefighters for themselves. And so I think it's important to recognize the role that class and money plays in the climate crisis as well. Who has the money? Where is it going? Where did it come from? And I think it's important to recognize that.
Yeah, I think the opening of your mind is a really crucial idea in starting to learn about concepts that you may not have experienced in your life. And we talk a lot about privilege, and I think, accepting that there is privilege there, and then moving forward. And I think the question is, okay, so how do I affect change? And I think that process is really important to start thinking of how to open your own mind. And I think in recent, in this year in general, there's been a lot of data released about how COVID is disproportionately affecting people of color. And I think that right there is a huge issue. And I think that'll start hopefully to make people look at, you know, other issues beyond COVID. You know, this pandemic has only been here for, you know, so long, but I think looking beyond that and inviting people to just start to learn about the experience of other people beyond what we're hearing in the news, beyond what we're hearing around us in conversations, is really important.
I think each of your responses got me thinking about something I've been reflecting on for a few years, is that a lot of the solutions that we propose for sustainability, kind of like lifestyle measures, are things that low-income folks have to do out of necessity, and we do out of privilege. So like when I say, you know, save your plastic bags, or use reusable bags or reuse containers. There are probably folks that do that because they just can't afford to buy a 10 pack of Tupperware at the store, or don't want to, or turning off the lights. You know, some people just can't even afford to turn them on. And I think those are really simple, but prophetic ways to shift a mindset around sustainability. And then I think on top of that is just acknowledging that Indigenous wisdom has been looking at sustainability for thousands and thousands of years. And that oftentimes we try to pretend that we just discovered that. And look what we found. Seven generations, all those other catchphrases that I use myself. But I think it's important to acknowledge our role in creating a problem that other people have to experience. Next question is, I think we all acknowledge that engagement is a significant component of the conversation we're having. How do we properly enter into a conversation about racial justice with someone who may have experienced inequality? And then the flip side of that is, how can each of us enter into a conversation about racial injustice with someone who has not experienced inequality? How do we make sure that both of them have their voices heard? I think this goes to that privilege piece that we're starting to touch on.
I think, like I was talking about a little bit earlier, when you're engaging in a conversation with somebody who has experienced racial injustice, you have to be mindful not to put the burden on that individual to educate you on their experiences or on the experiences of people from their entire identity group, because that's not their burden. And the best way to approach conversations like that is to really be open-minded and be curious. I think just to ask questions, but not put that burden on them to educate you. And I think if you're having a conversation with somebody who has not experienced racial injustice, it's kind of then your responsibility to be an advocate. And to educate them on those issues, because we really just don't want to put that burden on people to educate us on all of their issues, because I think historically we've seen that issues like the climate crisis and just like racism in general have been placed on the people who experience them to then fix them. And that's not how we're going to find a solution ever. We need to be allies. We need to listen to those voices. We need everyone to be heard and everyone to come to the table and to find a solution that works for all of us. And so I think that's something to be mindful about when you're entering into conversations about racial justice, and especially when that intersects with the environment, is to be curious and open-minded, but also taking that education and that engagement upon yourself. And also just being an advocate for others where their voices can't be heard.
I think it's important with conversations about racial injustice, speaking as a white person, it's to know the time and place to speak and take up space, when to listen and when to speak. And I think that sentiment can often be used as an excuse not to engage in these difficult conversations, because they can make people feel uncomfortable, or maybe as a white person, you've never had these conversations before, you're worried you're going to make mistakes. But I think it's important to recognize that no matter what, we will all be making mistakes when we're having conversations. We're all very human in that sense, but that is not an excuse to not engage and to really push to educate yourself on these issues. And so 4 years at Gonzaga, I've spent 4 years really cultivating the confidence and the education to engage in these conversations, especially with people who maybe have never experienced them before. And I know that's not the same experience for everyone at Gonzaga. There is a really easy way to go through Gonzaga and not ever have a serious conversation about race. And I think that definitely needs to change. But with sort of talking about these two demographics, I've seen this played out in a current project that GSBA and my team specifically is doing. We are creating Black Lives Matter t-shirts, and we're working in collaboration with the Black Student Union. But we did not want to place the burden on BSU. We wanted to do this working towards allyship and sort of a university-wide allyship that goes beyond performance, but really engages. And we're releasing these shirts, and we're going to have many events next semester that really focuses on these conversations. And so I think it's important to know our role specifically as allies. As a white person, how can I amplify Black voices? How can I fight to be a better ally, but also how can I engage other white people in allyship as well?
I think when talking about engagement, engagement starts with the choice to actually engage. I think to make that choice to engage with people who think differently than you is a step for a lot of people. And so then if you do choose to engage, I think there should be a lot of emphasis placed on either side to actively listen. And I think often in conversations of, where somebody might not have been in the situation of racial inequality, or maybe someone has been in the situation of racial, injustice, I think your job is not necessarily to provide a response or a rebuttal to what they're saying, but just to listen and to make notes of the things that they're saying, so that you can start to process that information and start to learn. Because I think if you're, and maybe in a debate or with someone who doesn't think the same way that you do, you're oftentimes thinking very actively of how you can respond. And so I think really just focusing in on the act of listening, and again, active listening is huge. And also just recognizing that people come from very different places than you, in very different walks of life.
Yeah, I think Brady brings up an important point there of listening to understand rather than listening to respond. That's super critical to be mindful of in having these conversations.
Yeah, and also just the idea of calling people in rather than out. We live in a very, very polarized time, and there seems to be a lot of calling people out going around, but especially as Zags, we're hoping to create a better community on our campus and in the world, and that can only be done by bettering each other rather than forming more divisions.
I like that a lot. I think all the steps of this tree model involve really an active amount of participation, both introspection and kind of looking out as well. As we kind of wrap up, I want to ask the three of you, what are some specific things that Zags can do? I think we've heard a lot about how each of us are engaging and educating ourselves. But if someone had pressed fast forward on this podcast to try to get through it quickly for whatever reason, and they came to this part, what are the takeaways? What do we want? How do we affect change for the longer term with specific action?
I think as students, it can be hard to know exactly where to focus your action or what kinds of tangible action you can actually affect in the spaces that you hold, just because you feel like you hold such a small position. But really, you can do a lot. And I all I can think about right now is this passage from Audre Lorde that Brittany and I actually read in one of our classes that we have together. And she talks about words as action and just how a lot of times, you know, like we'll be like, okay, like enough talking, like when are we going to start acting? Like enough of discussion, how can we act? And I think it's important to recognize that a lot of these discussions and engaging in these discussions and inviting people in, you know, even us being here on this podcast is in itself a form of action. And it's our collective struggles to discuss these issues of the intersections of race and the environment and gender and all sorts of other issues without that censorship. And that's itself a practice. And so I think if students are looking for a way to act and to engage in conversations around environmental justice, like that's a great place to start. And from there, can kind of take inspiration in how they can adopt, you know, practices into their own lives and reflecting on, you know, the impact that their actions have on communities that are disproportionately impacted by environmental inequities. And yeah, I think we really need to start with these conversations as kind of a springboard for action.
I think students can also take personal lifestyle changes that we sort of touched on, but I don't think we can call it quits after that. Just because we use a reusable bag doesn't mean the journey is over, but I think we should not ignore the impact that individuals can make on the environment. But I also think we have to look at larger entities so we can demand change from our institution and encourage them to live our mission statement as it's written in solidarity with the poor and vulnerable and protecting the environment. And then I also think we can focus on political action. So partaking in civic engagement, marches, writing to your senators, any form of political action, making sure that legislation that will protect the environment is being passed, or at least doing our part to try to pass it.
Yeah, I think just for a lot of people in conversations that I've had, there's certainly a negative connotation surrounding the idea of individuality. I think oftentimes you feel a lot of pressure as just an individual person, you know, even in a campus of 5,500 students where that's not even that big. And then you look to the US as a whole, there are, you know, 370 million people living in the US. So I think individuality is oftentimes just looked at as a form of like just giving up, you know, give up because you're an individual. But I think really that individuality should be more of a call to action, because I think everybody experiences different things. Everybody has unique experiences, and so then I think individuality paired with community can really raise individual experiences to the top. I mean, then we can start to listen, and then we can just start to have this engagement. And I think the way that we, at least on Gonzaga's campus, can do this is you know, engaging yourself in those, you know, offices of, you know, like the Office of Mission Ministry, the Office of Sustainability, where we have conversations like this, where you might not think that we have conversations like this, but we do, because, you know, we're Gonzaga and we're founded on these Jesuit principles that are meant to uplift individual experiences. So I think by just choosing to be actively involved in Gonzaga's community, and starting to, you know, engage in, you know, these certain offices or engage in clubs that you may have not thought about engaging in, then you can start to inform yourself, and then you can start to uplift maybe your own individual experience or other people's individual experiences. And then in turn, that is turned very much so into the community that we have here at Gonzaga. So I think what Gonzaga has already is great. But I think just doing that at a whole nother level is even better.
Could I add something to that, Jim? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think both of you kind of hit the nail on the head there. And I think Another thing that's important to think about when we're thinking about action is the type of responsibility that we put on ourselves. And I think within sustainability at large, I think much of the narrative around personal responsibility and, you know, changing your lifestyle to be more sustainable has, I mean, while those things are wonderful, has also kind of been a way to take the burden off of like larger corporations or, you know, institutions that are really contributing to a lot of these environmental inequities and like the climate crisis that we're seeing in front of us. So, you know, my mind goes to Fossil Free, who has been doing wonderful work on campus and trying to get Gonzaga to divest in oil companies. And I think that's a huge place where we can start in being advocates as students and really calling for our institution to be accountable to the environment and to, you know, different communities across Spokane and across our country. And really, you know, live out that mission statement. I think at Gonzaga, we can have the tendency to kind of talk the talk, but not necessarily walk the walk. And, you know, a huge part of our action as students can be to really hold those institutions accountable and make sure that we're living up to the mission that we claim to live by.
Yeah, and just to build off of that, I think this is very much like a senior perspective as we go through 4 years at Gonzaga, but to demand change from our institution doesn't mean that we don't love Gonzaga any less. It means that we actually love it very much because we want it to be the best possible place and the place that it claims to be within our mission statement with all of these Jesuit values. And so I think it's important to recognize that when asking for change within the institution, it's because we so strongly believe in the mission statement and the vision of what our ideal Gonzaga would be and how it can be better for future generations of Zags. And so it's important to continue the fight and to not shy away from that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think we're all trying to make sure that our best intentions match up with our best practices. And on our best days, that doesn't always happen. And I appreciate what you said about kind of care for the place. I think if we didn't push places and people in directions that we know in our hearts need to go, that's not love, that's complacency. And so I think there's a really great opportunity to love Gonzaga as a place, as an institution, as a model for change, and press into some things that it might be hard to consider right now. What did I miss? I think we're winding down. We talked a lot about what people can do to educate themselves, to engage, to kind of take what they learn, put it into practice, and then try to spread that to others. What else? There doesn't have to be anything. I'm just throwing it out there. For listeners, all three of them are thinking very deeply. Thinking hats are on. Only Brady's wearing a hat.
I'm thinking about conversations that Jim, Brittany, and I had about the sustainability tree kind of event that we're going to be pulling off here in a couple weeks, but thinking about, you know, which voices are present and at the table when we're having these discussions. And I think we definitely touched on this a bit, but just being mindful of who's in the room and making sure that you're calling in and engaging the voices that deserve to be there and that deserve to be heard and listened to. Because I think it's really easy for the four of us to have a conversation like this. But it's also important to recognize that we collectively hold a pretty substantial amount of privilege. And it's critical that we're inviting in those voices and making sure that there's a spot there for them to be heard and then to advocate and amplify those voices throughout those conversations on campus and beyond.
I want to end on maybe a more playful and fun note. And invite each of you So Brittany, I've been looking over your shoulder. Is that a print of macaroons?
Yes. It's kind of like, I guess, my form of a dream catcher at night. So if I have cookies above my head, there's going to be no nightmares. I did study abroad in France, and my roommates always, you know, joke that I talk about it too much, but how could I not? But yes, it's a fond reminder of the last fall.
Awesome. Grace, do you have a favorite poster behind you?
A lot of these posters behind me are from like this Polish poster movement that I really enjoy. And they're just kind of like, I don't know, I just like the design of it. And I'm very interested in kind of design and color. But I have this Albenberg, I can't pronounce his name and I'm going to butcher it, but it's Wojciech? Yeah, I don't know. But he is incredible and does a lot of really great artwork. And that's one of his most famous posters. And I wish that all of the listeners could see it. But there's also a lot of plants behind me. And I think that's kind of just a huge theme of my room, is that I like to surround myself with greenery and happy plants, because I don't know, it makes it a lot easier to sit inside and do Zoom classes and to be mindful about the connection between us humans and our planet. So.
And then Brady, I know where you are. You have the St. Francis pledge behind you, which I think a lot of people would consider incredibly exciting. But if you were back home, what's your background?
I have two coffee bags, like where the green coffee beans like come in from. One is from Kenya, and the other is from Sumatra. Yeah, pretty cool. And I got them when I was working at the coffee shop where I was a barista. And they were just handing them out. So I was like, yes, perfect decoration. But sometimes they shed. I don't know what the texture is, but they shed this like
burlap.
There you go. It's burlap. And it is annoying. And it'll shed sometimes, and I like sleep directly underneath them. So sometimes I'll wake up with a little bit of burlap on my face.
Not bed bugs, just burlap.
Just burlap.
Well, thanks to the three of you. I really appreciate your insight and your sharing and your thoughts. I'm excited for our community to hear what the three of you had to say. So thanks so much for joining today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the InBalance podcast. InBalance can be found at www.gonzaga.edu/podcast. Take a listen and pass it on to a friend or colleague. Check back soon for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the richness of the CREATE model as it is lived out at Gonzaga University and our broader community. Especially in this digital time, follow us on social media via @ZagsGoGreen.